think I got the frogs figured out. Yeah, it's that. Yeah, I'm convinced now that my instinct, my intuition here, my intuitiveness, that it doesn't take many spiritual beings to kick over humanity, to form the wild beast, which is the topic of today's conversation. It doesn't take very many of them because they've been primed for years. But when it comes to killing the sons of bitches, oh, then it takes a lot. We had the 200 million cavalry, the horsemen. You remember we were told, and we read this from Hal Lindsey and other spurious sources, that it was the Chinese army. And everybody in my, when I was a kid, was scared to death the Chinese were going to come over. And they're going to be, oh, that's why you want to kill all your people, 200 million of us. And they're going to be the Yellow Horde or whatever. That was the 200 million horsemen. It's not. Wait, oh my God, that is so wrong. And by the same genius that I know what the seven torches are and the seven eyes and the lampstands and the seven stars, by the same act of genius, I know what the horsemen are. And when we get to that section of Revelation, it will be the most startling thing you've ever heard in your life. In fact, I remember the day, it was in Mansfield, Ohio, and I was in a park. Very idyllic scene, someplace you would be proud to bring your kids on a picnic. And I found out that day, I think it was around 2008 or 9. I was going through a miserable time in my life, so it must have been 2009. Never mind, I won't talk about myself. But I remember sitting on a bench, and it was that day that I learned what the horsemen were. And I think it was that day I decided that I had to do a series on the book of Revelation and tell these things, because nobody knew these things. Nobody understood how to read the book of Revelation. And here it was in front of my eyes. People need to know this. My God, people need warned that this book is literal. This isn't the Chinese army. It's worse. And it's like, oh my God. So I think on that day, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, it's been brewing in me for years to do this series. And now here I am. And I'm barely holding on as I always do. But that's the way I operate. I'm not organized very much. I'm excited about this material. I'm as excited about it as you are. I thank God that it's not my expectation that I have a gospel that does not appear in the book of Revelation. It appears in the letters of Paul, and that I don't have to read what Jesus says to the seven ecclesias in Asia Minor in order to get my marching orders for the day. Oh, when I don't. Now we're going to go to the wild beast. The wild beast is a composite symbol. It's a symbol. John saw this. Listen to what John saw. I think I'll put my Bible over here today because I think this light's kind of cool. I had it over here and that wasn't working out for me. I wish I had this attached to my head. I'm going to try to find some kind of attachment here where I can attach this light to my head. But anyway, I don't know if this is going to work after all. Is it? And I was standing, this is 13, what a great chapter for the beast, the wild beast. The wild beast, by the way, is not a man. Okay, we're going to see that. The problem is the King James translates it he. They call the wild beast he, but that's the wrong pronoun. Words count. The concordance says it, calls the wild beast it. It is a composite of the beasts of Daniel chapter 7 that Daniel saw coming out of the sea. We're still in figures, and it was standing on the sand. It was standing on the sand of the sea, and I perceived a wild beast ascending out of the sea. All right, you're not the first guy to see this. Daniel, in chapter 7 of Daniel, saw seven beasts coming out of the sea. John sees the composite, and you're going to find this. I'll just keep reading. Shut up for a second. Having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns 10 diadems. Now, the fantastic thing is that this, if you take the horns and the heads that are on the beasts of Daniel 7, which is the lioness, the leopardess, the she-bear, and the indistinct monster, and you add those heads together, it equals 10 horns and 7 heads. So this beast, one beast coming out of the sea, is the composite of the four beasts of Daniel. Nobody knows this. It's the fact that the Christian religion, which is the monstrous, the final beast Daniel saw, stamps on the other three beasts, takes on its attributes, takes on its horns, its power, the heads, its brains, and on its horns 10 diadems, and on its heads 10 blasphemous names. It takes these things and rules the earth with it, as I'm going to show you as I continue to read. And the wild beast, which I perceived, was like a leopardess, and its feet were as a bear's, and its mouth as the mouth of a lion. The lion, the leopardess, and the bear, if you look in Daniel chapter 7, those are all the animals that Daniel saw. These are religious powers. And the wild beast is found in the section of Revelation that is the temple section, not the throne section. Therefore, this has to do with religion, not politics. Remember, I've been telling you from the beginning that we're talking about religion and politics in the book of Revelation. And the book is divided into three parts: prophetic section, the throne section, and the temple section. The wild beast is in the temple section. See why it's important to know? You might be tempted to say the wild beast is strictly a political power. But when you find out that it's in the temple section, we're looking at throne, or looking at worship, then you think, it's a religious conglomeration. Then, when you know the secret of Daniel 7, that those beasts are religions and not political entities, and when you see that they're coming back here, the leopardess, the lion, the bear, and they have the same amount of heads, if you add them up, they have conglomerately the same amount of heads and horns that the beasts had individually added up from Daniel 7, and you go, wow, it's just revelatory. And revelatory and revelatorious is the journey we're on. And the dragon we're going to talk about the dragon tomorrow. The dragon. God, this stuff's unbelievable. Did I say I figured out the frogs? Did I tell you why? That's not going to take many of them yet. Okay, yeah. There's only three, which really speaks of the weakness of humanity and the susceptibility of humanity to demonic powers. Because there's no doubt there are millions and millions of demonic spirits. It only takes three to push mankind over. But it's going to take 200 million to kill them. Because they're so stubborn. It's going to take many to kill them. All right. I just want to make sure I got that out. And the dragon, that is Satan, well, I just gave that away tomorrow. The dragon gives its power and its throne and great authority, gives it its power. So the dragon gives the wild beast its power and authority. Again, the wild beast is a conglomerate. It's a world confederacy. It's an it, not a who. It's an it, not a who. And I perceived one of its heads. Now, I say, poor John, he sees this. He sees this just like Daniel saw these beasts, and his spirit is flustered within him. I would have said, holy shit. These good Bible men say, my flustered is spirit. My spirit is flustered within me. Maybe I should start saying that. Whenever something goes wrong, instead of saying the S word or the F word or GD, I will just say, excuse me, but my spirit is flustered within me. And it will be just as true. So the dragon gives its power and its throne. The dragon gives to the wild beast power. That's where it comes from. It's invisible. You don't see that happening when this system is on the earth. You don't see it, but we're getting a behind the scenes look, and we're seeing that it's animated by Satan himself. And I perceived one of its heads as it had been slain to death, and its death blow was cured, and the whole earth marvels after the wild beast, and they worship the dragon. They worship the dragon through the wild beast. They don't realize they're worshiping the dragon, just like Christians today don't realize they're of their father, the adversary. Christians are worshiping the dragon today, but the dragon is cleverly disguised as a priest, or as a pastor, as the worship team. No, that's the dragon, okay? That's the dragon. Satan animates the religion. The Greek word for religion is dread demonism. That's the Greek word. The English elements of the Greek word, deesi daimonia, translated religion, dread demonism. These are demons. But they look so good, Martin. Yeah, I know that's the problem, you see. So they worship the dragon, seeing that it gives authority to the wild beast. Seeing that, yeah, they're not seeing it. John's seeing that. John's saying they're worshiping the dragon. They don't know they're worshiping the dragon. They don't know that the wild beast is a wild beast. They see it as a really slick, clean, wonderfully organized world confederacy that has its own flag, it has its own number, it has its own leader, the little horn, the man of lawlessness, who's squeaky clean. Who is like the wild beast, John says? Who is able to battle with it? And to it was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. You know, the Christian religion today is a wild beast, and it is speaking blasphemies like free will and eternal torment and the immortality of the soul. But they're perceived to be, by the adherents of this sicko religion, perceived to be wonderful things. But we're getting behind the scenes look here. Again, we're seeing things as John sees them, not as they're presented to the earth. They're presented to the earth as clean, as organized, the systematizing of the deception, a world confederacy that has its own flag. When you worship the beast, it's going to be the epitome of international patriotism. The way people worship the flag today, the U.S. flag, the flag of this world confederation is going to be worshipped. And by extension, though, the adherents here are worshiping the wild beast. They're worshiping the dragon and the wild beast, and they don't even realize it. And you're talking about the number. They take the mark of the beast. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to talk about this. It's a symbol. The mark of the beast is not the mark of a man. The 666 is a mark of humanity. It's humanity. But you're not going to get a mark of a man. You're going to get a symbol that represents this world confederacy. You're going to get it on your hand or on your forehead. And it's going to be the greatest thing going, I'm telling you. It's going to be like somebody today said, you know, to put the U.S. flag emblem on. Carry the flag, okay? That's a sign. And people do it willingly. Christians do it willingly. They put the cross on, even though that's the mark of the beast. So I'm telling you, these people are not going to hesitate putting the mark of this bestial system, the wild beast that the woman rides. This is a real shock that John saw. He saw the harlot riding on the wild, the most sick thing he could have ever seen. Is the woman, and he knows who the woman is, riding the wild beast, and he knows what that is. It's the sickest thing a Jew could see, and John was a Jew. I'm going to tell you why it's sick when we get there. It's sick. It's the sickest union of religion and politics you're ever going to see, and you'll never have to see it again. You're never going to have to see it again. This is going to be the last stand of religion and politics, thank God. It's sick enough now. You see it in Christianity. But it's going to have its last stand. And it makes me sick. It makes me want to throw up, literally. It makes me want to vomit. I can imagine then what John thought when he saw the woman riding on the back of the wild beast. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I don't know. I guess that's all I want to say to you on that. I gotta take a break because tomorrow I have to talk about the dragon, which animates the wild beast. So I'll deal with that when the time comes. Not now.